Hey guys, I'm in front of a 4,000-year-old temple. Oh, how cool is that? Yet another testament to the fact that mankind has always been not just vaguely spiritual, but also inherently religious till about 5 minutes ago. Now, whether you're like the first missionaries who came to this place and brought Jesus to a people that worshiped other gods, or you're like a modern day missionary like me, and like you, hopefully, who's bringing Jesus to people who don't worship anything at all, when you propose Jesus, when you share his claims with people, it upsets them. It creates awkward moments. And that's something that keeps a lot of Christians from sharing their faith and letting people know that they're Christians at all. But here's the deal, guys. Jesus promised us that would be the case. Look, when you claim divinity like Jesus did, that's not a take it or leave it claim. He's not a prophet, wise man. No, no, no. He's either who he said he was or he's completely nuts. And had the biggest narcissistic problem in all of history. And if he is who he said he was, then the thing you're proposing would change everything in the person's life who you're proposing it to. This is not a benign proposal. This is something that changes absolutely everything. So it makes sense that it makes people uncomfortable. Peter Kreeft wrote about this in the book, Jesus Shock. And I've shared this before, that when the apostles encountered Jesus risen from the dead, some people say that's like in The Lord of the Rings when they encountered Gandalf when he came back from the dead. I know I'm fully nerding out on you right now. Sorry if there's whistles in the background. There's guys like selling these cool little whistles that sound like animals. Kreeft said, no. When the apostles encountered Jesus, that would be more like the hobbits encountering J.R.R. Tolkien breaking into the story like poof. You just changed the whole narrative, the whole thing. Everything in my life is totally different if what this guy says is true. And he continues to make the case in Jesus Shock that maybe that's why when you bring up Jesus in a conversation, everybody gets quiet. It gets uncomfortable because it should. That's an absolutely radical claim if he is who he said he was. And you can talk about anybody else at the water cooler at work and they'll let it go. They'll be cool with it. Talk about Jesus, it brings instant silence into the conversation. You talk about him at a table with other people who don't believe, it's like dropping a bowling ball into the middle of the table because they rightly perceive this is not just the average guy. And guys, that threat that Jesus proposes, it's really at the basis of every persecution of Christians in history, including the persecutions that happened here in Mexico. Early 1900s, the president of Mexico made it illegal to worship publicly. He would execute priests who wore their clerical garb in public. And there was one incredible priest during that time. Actually, a lot of them were killed for their faith because they wouldn't back down. But one incredible priest at the time, Miguel Pro, he would go around to his people dressed up as a mechanic to hear their confession at their door. He would dress up as a mailman, go into someone's house and pray mass for them. Well, he was eventually caught. And the president of Mexico wanted to show people what cowards Catholics were. So we had the martyrdom photographed. It totally backfired, by the way. By the way, this might be one of the only photographed martyrdoms in the history of the church. They thought they'd see pictures of him cowering in fear and say, look at these Catholics. They're trying to renounce their faith as we, you know, raise a gun to them. Do they really believe in Jesus? Let's see if they really believe now. Instead, what they saw was that Miguel Pro refused a blindfold, faced his firing squad, stretched his arms out cruciform and a cross, and shouted at the top of his lungs, Viva Cristo Rey! The president tried to hide those photographs, but they leaked, they got out, and at his funeral, thousands of people were in the streets in this country where it had become illegal to publicly practice your faith, chanting, Viva Cristo Rey, long live Christ the King, praise God. Another guy who was killed at the time, Jose Sanchez del Rio, he was captured, again, devout, practicing Catholic. He was captured for being part of the Cristero Revolution, and they told him, look, if you just say death to Christ the King, we'll let you go home. So why was Jesus such a threat to these people? Hey, just say it. Just renounce this man who, if he is who he said he was, it might change everything in my life. Renounce him. Death to Christ the King. And he said, no, Viva Cristo Rey. So they tortured him. They shaved the bottoms of his feet off, made him walk through the center of his village, firing squad in front of him and said, look, kid, just say it one time. We'll let you go home to your parents. Again, stretches arms across, shouts at the top of his lungs, Viva Cristo Rey. St. Jose Sanchez del Rio was 14 years old. Guys, here's your reminder not to be a sissy when it comes to sharing your faith. Look, if Jesus is who he says he was, yeah, talking about him and inviting people, as lovingly as you do it, inviting people rightly produces a threat response sometimes. But if he is who he says he was, the king of the universe, then guys, you better be more afraid of him and revere him more than how people feel around you all the time. Worry more about how he feels than creating situations of awkwardness. And worry more about the hope that only he could bring to the world and giving that to someone. Worry more about that person's soul and loving that person than making that person feel awkward for a minute. I think it was Penn Jillette, the famous atheist. He said, if you actually believe that Jesus is God, right? And if you believe that heaven is possible, I'm paraphrasing what he said. He said, how much do you have to hate someone not to share the faith with them? Out of love for God, out of love for people, share it. And guys, that awkwardness, that confrontation that comes with the world when you share, no matter how lovingly you share, guys, that's something that Jesus promised us would happen. Guys, you got to share the faith anyway. Why? Because it will always go well? No. In fact, Jesus promised us the exact opposite. They will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and to prisons. They will have you led before kings and governors. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends. And they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. And yet he says, don't be afraid. Don't worry. I'll send you the word you need in a moment. Huh? They're going to kill you, but don't worry? How does this square, how does this fit, man? I love thinking of the apostles in the upper room where they were hiding for fear of the people who had just killed Jesus. And the irony of the story is their fear made perfect sense, because the very thing that they feared literally happened to them. I love thinking of, like, imagining the scene where they're hanging out there with the Lord, risen from the dead. It's like, Lord, what if they kill us? And he's like, if? No, they're totally going to kill you. You're all going to die. But he gave them something way better than false reassurances of safety. He breathed on them, the scriptures tell us, and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And they were so filled with the joy of God that as they raced into the world to share the good news of the gospel, this is the only faith where at its foundation, the world's response is, are they drunk? It's only 9 a.m. Who's serving whiskey at this time of the day? I added that last line. They were more aware of the hope they could bring to the person in front of them, more aware, more conscious of the breath of God that they could breathe into someone else's life than they were afraid of the awkwardness that that might cause. Guys, that's how we have to be too. But dude, what do I say? Okay, guys, here's what you do. If God opens a door, you open your mouth. Can I encourage you? And if you don't know what to say, just be holy and then be yourself. All right, I got to share with you a little story of my daughter who's doing this so well. I'm so dang proud of her. I'll try not to cry while I tell you this. She was in a class recently, this athletic class, and it's not a really Christian environment. They're not bad people, but you could tell there's a lot of people there who are not churchgoers. And when she leaves, 16-year-old kid, she practices what I preach better than I do sometimes. She leaves and she says real loud, see ya, good night, God bless you. And she says it so loud that, again, it's kind of like what Creef predicted would happen. It's a little bit like a bowling ball in the middle of the room, and there's always an awkward silence after she says it. And it was so awkward that I was like this close to telling her, hey, Eloise, maybe tone it down just a little bit. Like, think about, like, the witness of joy. You're going to be with these people every week. Just give them the ongoing presence that you can bring that makes them maybe curious about why you have that joy. Dude, I'm glad I didn't say that. Her coach texted me this the other day. And I'm going to respect anonymity and not tell you his name or exactly what class this was. He said, a couple weeks ago, Eloise was leaving class. And she said, bye, everyone. God bless you all. And it might seem like a tiny thing or something that's 100% normal for her, but it really helped me out that night when I needed it. I started going to church again with my family recently, and for some reason, I've been nervous to tell people in my life for different reasons. But after that night, I decided I was going to face that and that I'd be more open about my faith journey moving forward. Like I said, it might have been something you guys didn't notice, but it was something that helped me greatly over the last 2 weeks. And I think it's pretty awesome that she's so comfortable with expressing her faith like that. Guys, you don't have to be eloquent. Just don't back down from Jesus. And be more afraid of this, that he said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. Be more afraid of that than you are of maybe creating an uncomfortable situation. Be more afraid of, in the final judgment, standing before the Lord with a person who's lost and who looks at you and says, dude, why didn't you tell me? Be more afraid of that than creating an awkward moment. Be holy and be yourself. Viva Cristo Rey. St. Jose Sanchez del Rio, the St. Miguel Pro, pray for us. Love you guys. God bless you.